Hi there, welcome to Sales Inbound Podcast. I'm your host, I'm Dana, Head of Growth at SaaS Group, serial acquirer, buying wonderful SaaS businesses to take them to the next level. And here I chat with inspiring founders and experts to get an inside scoop on how they made their business a success. And today with me is Dorian, co-founder and CEO of Zelic, an all-in-one AI-powered sales prospecting solution. Welcome to the show.
Hello, hello, Anna.
It's great to see you here. I said AI powered, but to be honest, lately, I don't think I have to. Like, pretty much all the latest podcasts have been with tools that have some kind of AI layer to them. So that's really fascinating. And I can't even remember, like, when it was announcing something that didn't have AI in it. That's so crazy. But before we get to AI and Zelic and what you're doing, maybe let's get into your background a little bit, because Zelic is also not your first company. You sold your first one. Maybe we can get a bit of a history there.
Perfect. Do you want to start about speaking about myself and yeah?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Well, first of all, I'm so happy to be with you today and to discuss about entrepreneurship and about my life and about Zelic. So happy to answer to all of your questions. About me, I'm Dorian. So I'm the CEO of Zelic. I'm 34 years old. I came from a small city on the east side of France when I was born, a poor city. And then I started the business almost 12 years ago when I was a student. And one of the companies that I started was Ivancy. It was the company that I grew up from zero to 130 employees in 5 years. And it was on influencers marketing sectors. So we had on the platform 500,000 influencers working with us. And the concept was so easy. It was to put in touch influencers and brands in 3 verticals. So it was cosmetic, food, and fashion. So we had some clients like L'Oreal, Amazon, Estée Lauder, LVMH, Sephora, whatever, but a lot of big names. And we gave product to influencers, but we didn't pay them. So the concept, it was so easy. It was to say, okay, you will get a product at home, and then you will do a collaboration and post on social networks. So this company, I grew up from 0 to 7 million of ARR in 3 years and a half. I raised 6.5 million, dilutive and non-dilutive. And I exit to PSG Equity, the famous VC in US. And this VC created like a build-up, so 10 French companies. And they create the group Skippers, and I joined them so in 2021 in October. And then after that, I took 6 months for me just to have a rest, to relax. And then I was asking the question, do I have something else on my life? Because I'm 30, I won millions and millions, but do I want to do something else? And I got a new idea. It's Zelic. And I say, okay, why not? Because I'm only 30. I can do a lot of things right now. I have a lot of network. I understood the business, the technology. So I'm going to do something better than what I did before. And today, Zelic, it's 15 million raised in 1 year. I created the company 2 years ago on the sales sector space. And we have 40 people today working at Zelic worldwide with the headquarters in Paris. But as I told you before, I'm living in Spain. And yes, we are doing something incredible.
All right. That sounds like a dream. It sounded almost too easy, to be honest, Dorian. But what I want to ask you is, you know, yes, it's a sales prospecting tool, but I feel like somewhere on social media or maybe on your blog, I saw that you position it as a competitor or as a challenger to HubSpot. And I want to ask you about this big vision.
Yes, today I'm the brother or the sister of HubSpot. It's been that I need to be connected to HubSpot in bilateral. So like all of the data on HubSpot need to go on Zelic, and all of the data on Zelic need to go on HubSpot. So it's something very important for me. Yes, it's true that the vision is to create like the revenue workspace. It's been that I want that all of the people who do revenue, the customer success, the marketing, the sales team will work on one environment. So we don't need like to jungle between different tools. We will use only Zelic. So the difference with HubSpot is no one likes to use HubSpot for the operational part. People like for the data, for the dashboard, but no one wants to use 7 hours per day HubSpot. It's too complicated for the people. So my vision is to say, okay, that the CRM will go like the data connectors platform, and we are going to be the workspace for the revenue team. And it's what I want to bring on the next 5 years.
Okay. And why Zelic? Like, why did you get this idea in the first place? I mean, you were working with influencers and now you got this completely different idea. And I mean, in a way, it's also sales, right? What you were doing before, but still, why Zelic? What is the problem? Maybe your personal problem that you were trying to solve here?
My idea came from a few years ago when I was at INC with more than 100 employees. I had at the past 40 salespeople and we had approximately 10 tools. So it was expensive. It took time for the ramp up and sales was not efficient. And so I say, okay, why not create something that it's easy for the sales to use and it will be more performance. So I got the idea. Then when I sold the company to Skippers, we were 550 people at Skippers doing more than 30 million of ARR and on different countries. And I saw that this problematic was for INC at the past, but also for Skippers. So for low maturity company, but also to high maturity companies. And so I saw the same problematic and I say, okay, now I can build something different because this kind of company are using HubSpot and Salesforce, but they need something to drive the sales collaboration, to drive ARR, to book meeting. And in my previous company at INC, when I scale from 0 to 7 million of ARR, it's thanks to SDR, so people who are doing only cold calling, and I didn't have any budget in marketing. It's just people taking the phone, doing some cold calling, booking meeting, giving to like account executive to close the deal. And so we got something and it was working, the cold calling aspect. And I say, okay, now what I need to do, it's put all of my knowledge about INC experiences on one tools. And we decided to bring Zelic on the table. So of course it was my experience, but we did some interview with some prospects, almost 80 people that we got as an interview. And thanks to all of the feedback, we decided to bring Zelic. And what is Zelic today? Because we have the vision. We talked about it just a few minutes before. But today what we are doing, it's the mission is to bring data and prospecting tools on the same place. So we allow you to find the right numbers, the right emails, and then to prospect in multi-channel. So with LinkedIn, email, cold calling in one place. So the best between Lusha, ZoomInfo or Conizum, and SalesLoft, Outreach, and Gong. And it's what we are doing today. So we are the best for company who have approximately from 2 to 50 salespeople in the team.
Okay, and I think you're right. I mean, it's been kind of a trend for the last several years in SaaS, I think, to kind of merge a few tools because no one really wants to juggle. And I'm there with you. But one thing that I've heard from you, and it just stuck with me, because you said in your previous company, you didn't have any marketers. You only had salespeople. And I wonder how that works. And also if you have the same setup now.
Yes, today I have a marketing budget, so I changed a little bit and I have a marketing team. But now I kept the same strategy for sales. And today, to scale, we are using Zelic for Zelic. So the growth that we have today at Zelic, it's thanks to Zelic. And as today the marketing team can use Zelic because we have 450 million of contacts on our database. So the marketing team get the lead thanks to Zelic, enrich the lead, give to the sales ops dispatch the lead to the sales team, and then the sales team prospect on Zelic to get the meeting. And once that the meeting is booked, the account executive will directly do the meeting and then go to the CRM. But so I kept the same strategy for the sales, for the cold calling. So I have a team of 7 people doing cold calling today and booking meeting for the account executive team. But on the strategy for the marketing, I changed a little bit because I raised more money. So I can put more budget on the table to be sure to be well known faster than before.
All right. So basically, because that was kind of my next question, why did you decide to raise and much more money than before? Is it because you wanted to go faster? Is it because you wanted to have those budgets to kind of differentiate and have different strategies in place. What was the main reason?
The main reason I want to create a unicorn in less than 8 years, and it's impossible without raising money. So to start the company, I start the day when I start the company, I raise 5 million. So the first day. So I start with 5 million. I hired my top people also on the tech team. And thanks to that, I could create like the alpha and then the beta to be sure that we were going on the right direction. But it was impossible to be as fast as where we are today without raising money. Because when you are working on the sales industry, you touch the heart of the business. So when you will sell your solution to one company and you will say, use only Zelig for your business, if it doesn't work, it's a huge problematic for the company, because they will not get meeting, and maybe they will get some difficulties in financial part. So I didn't have any choice to raise money to go fast. And I don't want to create like a top European company. I want to create a worldwide top company. Because at the past, at Ivancy was the influencer marketing leader in the European market, but not in US. And it's something that I want to do. Today, I want to be international, not only a European company.
Okay, so you didn't only decide to build a company. You decided to build it bigger and better.
Yes, right. My previous company, I exit at 8 numbers. So I did a big exit, but this one, I want to do more.
Okay.
And I'm more ambitious.
All right, that's pretty cool. Okay, so I will ask you obviously about expansion to the US market, because I think this is very interesting. But I also wanted, because you just said you raised your funding on the first day, and I think a lot of founders are very curious how you could do that, and maybe that's the relationship that you had with your previous backers. But tell me a bit more. Like, how do you appeal to investors to be investable from day one?
Yes, when you are second time entrepreneur, it's easier because you already have some network, you did an exit, you are quite famous on your country, so it's easier. So the day when I wanted to launch my new company, people knew that I wanted to launch a new company and to do something big. So most of the VC asked me to put money on the company. To be honest, what I did, it's in 2 days, I got 1.8 million, and in 1 week later, I took 3 million in dilutive, and then I complete with non-dilutive, so with bank, with BPI. But it was very fast. It was very fast because they understood that I wanted to do something big. But it's only because I did an exit. If it was not the case, it was not simple as what I did. So, but my advice on this, it's before raising money, I think it's quite interesting to know some VC, to take a coffee with them, to discuss about the business, about their vision, like to create some link with them, some relationship. And once that you are ready, then you will discuss with them and say, okay, we discussed 6 months ago. You know who I am, what I'm doing. Do you want to join my adventure? And it's something that helped a lot, because the second fundraising that I did, it was 10 million 1 year later, because I raised 5, then 10. And this was because I discussed with some VC, I took some coffee, and then the good day, I asked them to invest on the company. It was easier because they already know me.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what we always advise any company. And, maybe sometimes it's annoying if like investors or potential acquirers get to you and ask like, okay, do you want an investment or do you want an exit? And if it's not your story at that moment, we again strongly advise not to just say, get off my back and shut the door, but maybe have a coffee, talk to them, see what's going on next year in your company.
But for me, it's important. I like the human part, because a business is human. It's the VC that you will choose, it's the human, the people that you will hire, it's the human, the success that you will do, it's thanks to human. So it's only people, it's only question about people. So that's why it's the most important thing for me. Because when you launch a company, it's for 5 to 11 years, approximately, before the exit. So it's a human adventure.
Yeah, absolutely. That's true. And just one more thing about the investment, because I think a lot of founders that I talk to would then, you know, kind of regret their decision. And, you know, it's just the fact that you're also, in a way, an employee to your investor. And also the fact that sometimes investors put a lot of pressure on the founder, on the company. And I wonder if, you know, if you see any other advantages from working with investors, like have there been something that also investors put on the table where you said, okay, like I wouldn't have been able to do that without them?
Yes, I do agree with you. First of all, it's very important to select well your investors. But what the investors can bring, it can be like network, helping you to develop your business on other countries, helping to get some advisors. Sometimes when you have to hire some C-level, maybe they can push you some top profile to help you to scale your company. They have like a lot of benchmark, so it can help you also to know where you are versus the market. When you want to raise money, like the second round table or the third round table, they can help you to find some new investors and to do a follow-up on the round table. So I think if you find the right investor, it can help a lot. But it's true that, yes, you have pressure because you are not like alone on your cap table. You have to do some reporting every month or every quarter. It depends. On my side, today I have the majority of the capital. So I can take the decision that I want. It's something very important for me. But it's true that if I continue to do some new fundraising, at one time, I will lose this majority. But then on the shareholder agreement, I will have to negotiate the different parts of the document to be sure that, for example, during the board meeting, I have like the hand on some decision, the most important one. So it's true that you can speak about capital, but also like about shareholder agreement, because it's two different things that we need to discuss when you are doing this kind of round.
Okay, that's interesting. I think a lot of founders also don't necessarily know about that. So thanks for sharing. And just about, you know, more about the relationships and kind of, you know, choosing who to work with. You are working, your co-founder is the CFO of the previous company. And I really wanted to ask you, you know, how it works and if you think, you know, it's really important to have this also co-founder alignment.
This episode is sponsored by Rewardful. Looking for new ways to find customers for your SaaS business? Consider building an affiliate program. Rewardful is the easiest affiliate tracking platform to set up, manage, and scale for SaaS companies. Building a successful affiliate program can be a little bit intimidating at first, and that's why Rewardful has taken what they've observed from their most successful customers' affiliate programs and distilled that into an exclusive online course. The exciting part? Their affiliate marketing course is absolutely free. Start the course at academy.rewardful.com. Academy.rewardful.com. And turn your biggest fans into your best marketers.
Yes, first of all, I asked Guillaume to join me on my new adventure because I work with him 1 year and he helped me to exit to the US VC. We had a very good collaboration and I know his strengths and his weaknesses, and it was complementary to mine. So that's why I wanted to work with him. We had the same ambition for this project, and I didn't want to launch a company alone because it's so much difficult. You cannot discuss about the pain. You have no one to challenge you. You have no one to celebrate the success. You have no one to cry when you are doing something wrong. But it's Russian mountain. It's something so much complicated to do and to get success when you are creating a business. So that's why I decided to have someone with me to be sure also to get the success, because alone it's more complicated, you have less energy, and also, as I told you, it's a human adventure and I wanted to create something that I can celebrate with the co-founders when it will be a success.
Okay, anyone else from the previous team that joined you in this new adventure?
Yes, my previous head of sales joined me today as the VP sales. One intern on the sales department joined me as an account executive. One intern on data joined me on data team. What else? One person on marketing joined me as PMM. So yes, I took few people of my previous company and more to come.
Well, watch out the previous acquirer. He's getting them back. But I was wondering if, you know, if there were any learnings that you took from building the previous team, because you're already pretty big. You're already at 40. And yeah, are you building pretty much the same culture, or were there some learnings that you're applying now and, you know, doing it a bit differently?
No, the culture is different. First, I decided to take some people of my previous company because I know well them. And it's easier to take people that you know how they are working, they are hardworking, they are intelligent, they are smart. So it's easier. For the culture, it's changed a lot because at IVNC at the past, I didn't know what was culture because I was a student before. So I created the culture of IVNC and I put some value on the table 3 years after I built the company. And at Zelic, from the first day, I built the value and the culture of the company because I was sitting with my co-founders discussing about the culture and say, okay, what is the value that we want for Zelic? What kind of people we want for Zelic? What is important for it? What is the vision? So like, it's like a triangle. It's like culture, value, vision. So it's something that you need to tackle to be sure that you are going all in the same direction. So no, to answer to your question, it's totally different. Today, the value that we have, it's ambition, because we want to do the unicorn, like Centaur, because we want the 1 billion valuation, but we want also to do the 100 million of ARR. Second thing, it's Radical Condor. I'm transparent, and I want that people do the same with me. It can be intern, full-time, freelance, whatever. I want that people tell me when they want to tell me something. Hardworking, because we cannot do the unicorn if you are not working hard. So if you are joining me, you know that the next 3 years, it will be hard because we are working a lot. It's difficult. Even me, I'm tired today, but we have to if you want to get the success. And I'm sharing capital also to my employees. Everyone has some... in France, we are calling this BSPCE, so it's shares. So everyone gets some shares on the company. We have also the team spirit because we have the headquarters in Paris. Salespeople are in Paris, but the other people are everywhere in the world. And so for me, it's very important to create link between the people. So it can be like offsite 1 or 2 times a year. It can be some event online, but it's very important to win thanks to the team spirit because you cannot go fast with top people if they are not collaborative well. So you have to get a very good collaboration. Yes, no, the culture is totally different. And I prefer this one than the previous one. But it's normal because it was from the first day.
Sounds Group is partnering with SoundsTalk USA, taking place May 13th to 14th in Austin, Texas. This is where heads down SaaS founders and their teams move their business forward. As a partner, we have 30% discount available to share with our network. Use code SaaSGroup30 in all capital letters and see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important and I love the values that you just described. So, all right, like let's get into the, you know, the technicalities and how you're growing the product. And you already mentioned that you want to do the US now. So that's the big goal. And I wonder if you're doing it also from day one, if you have maybe some salespeople already in the US or kind of, you know, looking into who you can partner with in the US, or it's, you know, conquering kind of EU friends at first and then going there step by step.
Yes, I can tell you that today 20% of my ARR come from US international. So it's my second market. I had a sales in Colombia also because it's easier to attack the US market and to get some deals. We are putting a marketing budget also and ads to be sure to get some US leads. So it's something that we are doing and also trying now to discuss with top influencers in US. To get more visibilities and to let them use the tools and showing why Zelig it's an incredible tools and why we are different from Apollo. Because the main competitor that we have in US, it's Apollo. And we want to show the why we are different, why people should use Zelig and not Apollo. So it's what we are doing right now. So yes, investing on sales and on marketing. Today, from France or from Colombia, we know that we need to invest also in an office in US. So now I'm thinking about which city. So it will be normally in east side of US because it's easily for the European just to go there because for the hours, I don't know how to say this in English, but it's easier when you take the plane. Yeah. It's only 6 hours. To manage, but it's a big market, more competition, more mature market, but it's a huge one. And we know that we can get success there. We already signed some big deal, more than 30K in US. And it's showing that we have the potential to get the success. But for that, I need to raise more money because US is expensive. Even when you are hiring people, it's very expensive if I compare to the European market. For example, in US, a good salespeople, you are going to pay 200K approximately, 100K in fix, 100K in bonus, something like that. Around, if I give you an average, in France, for the same type of pipe of people, it will be 70K, 80K. So yes, it's more budget, take more times. It's also more difficult, because to hire well, it's difficult. And most of the time, US people don't want to work for a French company or European company. So you have to show them why they have to join you. Why you are not like the other companies. Why you can be like US company. So that's why since the first day also at Zelig, I decided not only to hire French people, but international people. Even if the headquarter is in France, but we are speaking English since the first day. We have more than 8 nationalities today at Zelig. So I don't consider Zelig like a French company. I think we are a worldwide company.
Yeah, so it really seems like this time you were taking a very different approach with your eyes on the prize, like really... We're going after US, we know what to do, we know what people we want. So that's very interesting. And you also mentioned that you start working with influencers there. And I wonder how you're doing this. And I mean, probably it's coming from your previous experience. But in terms of influencers, like when you take a B2B SaaS product, what are the kinds of influencers you're looking for? What are the channels where you want them to work? And what is the metric of success?
Yes, I copy paste the strategy of Ivancy because it was my previous experience. Today, what I'm looking for it's people speaking about sales, about data, about growth, about marketing. These people, I'm only looking on LinkedIn, and so for that. We can see like that more and more people are publishing a lot of content, quality content on LinkedIn. And then we just try to discuss with them and say, hey, do you want to talk? Do you want to promote Zelig? We can pay you for a post, but also if you bring us some clients, we can give you back some money. So we can do some affiliation program. So the strategy that we have, it's yes, to try to select the top players. Speaking about sales, we are looking for people who already spoke about competitors. Then it's easier to see the collaboration, if it was well done or not. And then we have a budget, and the budget depends about the number of followers and about the engagement rate also that the influencer can have. And yes, the main objective is to have short-term and long-term collaboration. The short-term is just to test different influencers and to see the results. And the long term, it's on the one that got a good result, we decide just to do a big collaboration on the long term. And in terms of success, it's easy. Of course, you are going to check on the post, how number of like and how number of comments, what's the engagement rate. If it's a video collaboration, can we keep the video and do some short and publish also the content on our side. And then if we put a promo code, also it's easier to see if people decided to buy the solution or not. At the end, it's only ROI. We are checking if it's work or not in term of in term of money. But I believe so much in influencer marketing. What I saw 7 years before on Instagram, today it goes on LinkedIn. We can see that more and more people are active on LinkedIn. Even me, I got almost 35K followers on LinkedIn and I'm doing millions of impressions each year. And I say, okay, why not do some collaboration with other people? Because people today are looking for opinion leader. People want to get some information if it's working or not. And so it's the strategy that I want for Zelik. That it's not Zelik doing his own marketing, it's the people doing the marketing for Zelik.
Okay, that's a good strategy. And what are other channels that work for you guys?
Ads on Google and on LinkedIn, it works well. And also now we try to do some qualitative content, white paper, and partnership. Partnership is something on the sales sector that works so well. Because we can do some webinar together, we can exchange some leads. And we are doing something today, it's only in France, but it's working very, very well. We are doing some SDR challenge. So it means that each week, we invite at the office one company. And the main objective is to do a challenge, this company versus us, and to see the number of meetings booked on one day. And then to compare how they bring leads thanks to their solution and how Zelik work. And the main objective is to show that Zelik is better than the other company, thanks to Zelik.
Okay, that's interesting. Can we participate?
Yes, of course.
All right,
but I need to come in Vietnam.
No. We've got companies in Paris, so there you go. That would be very
perfect.
Interesting.
Let's do it.
It's a challenge. Okay, I just got our people into something, but let's talk about that. All right. Yeah. Well, that's really interesting. I was really wondering on like how you work with influencers. Do you do any video content with them as well?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
Okay. And you distribute it on YouTube or like, does YouTube work for you at all?
Yes. On LinkedIn, on YouTube, because we created the YouTube channel 1 year ago, approximately. And it worked well. So we invite a lot of people doing some webinars, some live on YouTube. And then today also on my side, I'm trying to do TikTok. It works so well because in 1 week, I did more than 100K views since I launched my account. And I'm pretty sure that I'm going to get millions in 6 months. So all of the videos you are also publishing now in TikTok. So LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok.
Okay, so you're just repurposing your YouTube content into shorter form on TikTok.
Yes, but I'm doing also some more creative videos for TikTok.
Okay, that's interesting. Maybe, yeah, again, something for us to like look into. It's like they say, you know, you were too shy to dance on TikTok and now you just have your 9 to 5.
No, I did. I danced on TikTok in the past. It was Musical.ly. I did.
Okay, all right.
Even during the COVID crisis, we had some times on TikTok. So.
Maybe we'll get there at some point this year. But I'll ask the M&A team if they're up for it. But all right, I cannot not ask. I mean, Zelik is AI powered, and I wonder, you know, which part is it kind of your core messaging, core value proposition, or is it more, you know, kind of riding the trend and the wave and having, you know, a certain layer of AI, which doesn't necessarily change the game that much, but, you know, adds value to the customers anyway.
Yeah. First of all, I don't think that AI will replace the salespeople. For me, I see AI as a co-pilot. So AI will bring on the table some intelligence. And then thanks to this intelligence, the sales can bring more meetings and close more deal and increase the ARR faster. It's not like only because all of the people speak about AI, it's just that it's true that with AI, we can like automatize some tasks. And it's what we want to do. As I told you at the beginning, company like HubSpot is too much complicated to use. And today, we can replace some manual tasks with AI. So we are using AI on the outreach part. So it means that if you want to contact someone to prospect per email or LinkedIn, so it's to have some intelligence on the text. So because we have some elements on the personality, we have some elements on the company. So we can write an automatic text thanks to AI. And the second thing, it's thanks to AI, we can analyze the personality of the people to understand well to who we are going to sell. And for the next quarter, we are going to work on the marketing intelligence and AI will help us. So we are going to get a lot of data like a website analysis, intent, and with all of the data, we are going to do some resume to help salespeople to have more context and to increase his percentage, his rate to get a deal. So it's not just something that people talk about. My CTO is working a lot on it. My co-founders that he's working as CPO help a lot also. And then we want to evangelize, I don't know how to say this in English, this AI at Zelic, and then each squad can work on different part of the AI because we have three product squads at Zelic. One working on the PLG, so product-led growth, on the onboarding, one working on the data, and one working for the prospection. And we want that each of the squads adds some AI to be sure that the product will be more intelligent. So it's part of the roadmap, part of the culture, because you ask me about the culture. It's also part about the culture. But we want to create something that people will use. And at the end, the only thing that will show if we are successful or not, it's if people close the deal.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes great sense. And, you know, yesterday I had a conversation with another founder. And they were also like, yeah, so the objective for this year is to use AI and to find, you know, the way to integrate it and the way that, you know, customers actually use it and it brings a lot of value. But at the same time, we like completely understand that maybe, you know, that objective is not going to work. And that's also fine because maybe AI is not the solution here because the core problem is solved very differently. So I think in a way that the fact that you believe that, you know, SDRs, any salespeople will not be replaced by AI, maybe, you know, the solution is not AI completely.
Some of the part of the sales will be replaced. For example, sending an email, AI can do. Sending some sequences, AI can do. Doing some call, today, AI cannot. So you have some solution, but it's not working well. Closing a deal, AI cannot do today because you need to have a human touch to close the deal with R1, R2, R3, but it depends on the sales cycle that you have. Bringing intelligence to upsell the deal, AI cannot today. Can help, but cannot do alone. So this is my vision. It's, of course, the revenue workspace will change thanks to AI, but it will not delay the different jobs.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Thanks for walking me through this. But yeah, I think, you know, I got the idea of, you know, what you're doing. And it seems like you really are very focused on this venture and what you're going to do with it and how you're doing it. But so far, you know, I have just a couple more questions for you. This day, you know, growing the team, getting the investment, what is the biggest win and the biggest failure?
It's a very good question.
And it can be just your personal kind of, you know, you as a founder with Zelic, or maybe, you know, for Zelic as a company.
It's the first time that people ask me this question. What I want is that in 5 years, people will get success because they will win a lot of money because we will do some round table. It can be a Serie B, a Serie C, Serie D, whatever. And people will get their shares and get money, and I'm going to change the life of my employees. And also, because I'm going to do some cash out with my co-founders, and my family will get more money also, because I put my family on the on my holding also on this adventure. So what I want, I told you about the unicorn statue, the centaur, but I want to bring to the people that join me on this adventure money and success. And this is something that helped me to wake up the morning and give me energy.
Okay. So maybe, yeah, maybe a win here is to, yeah, to have this goal of like helping your team and helping your family and just making sure that people who are involved are rewarded. Yes. Any failures or like big learnings that you're taking with you and then like this next quarter year?
A lot of learning. First of all, it's very important to choose well your co-founders and associates. When you hire a C-level, just to be sure that it's the right one, because it's expensive. It's almost 100K per C-level. So it's a lot, huh? Because you have VP sales, CMO, CFO, CPO, so it costs a lot. So you have to select well. Hire fast, fire fast also. It's a big learning because some of the people can break your culture or your values. So it's very important also to take fast decision. And also some other learning, it's you need to adapt your marketing in function of the countries. So you don't communicate in France similar to what you are doing in US or in Spain or in Germany. So you need to understand this, and also you need to translate everything in different language to be sure that people understand. For example, in France, if I was letting the website only in English, it will not work because most of the French people don't speak so well English. It's the same for Spain, for Italy, for Germany, and those other countries quite different. They are so good in English, but yes, we need to adapt our marketing to the target. Choose well your investors because it's people who will follow your adventure for 5 years at least. So it's a big learning because you need to select people that can maybe also reinvest on your company. And then you are going to win a lot of time for your next round. Yes, it's what came to my mind right now.
No, those are perfect. I mean, I think, well, maybe they're a bit more like a common sense, but you know, we like to be reminded of that because, you know, you develop this tunnel vision when you work on something and you just sometimes forget about the most basic things even. But all right, the last question is always about a hack, and it can be anything, can be your personal, you know, how to deal with fast growth and, you know, building a company, building a team, or it can be something that works for Zelic, you know, and also helps it prosper and conquer international markets.
One hack, I can speak about one hack that I did at INC past, because I had to create a community of influencers and brands, and it's so difficult when you start, and I didn't have any followers on Instagram, so no credibility at the past when I contact some influencers. And what I did, and it helped me a lot to start my company, I contact all of the influencers on Instagram, and I told them, do you want to get some luxury products for free if you do a post on social networks? And I did this with 100 and 100 and 100 of influencers, and all of them told me yes. And then I sent to them a landing page that subscribed at the email, and then I told them, okay, now you have to wait 3 months before the first collaboration. So first things, it helped me to understand that we have a business around influencers and brands, because all of the influencers wanted to work with the brand and told me yes. The second thing, it helped me to win 3 months to start to contact companies and to get some product for free. And thanks to that, I won thousands and thousands and thousands of influencers very quickly. And then with the first community of influencers that I got, I did a challenge in French, we are calling this jeu concours. Like, it's like a gift challenge. It means that if you are like sharing my post, commenting my post, then you are going to get maybe one gift. And the challenge that I put, it's if you comment, if you tag your friend, at least two, if you follow INC account, maybe you can win 1 year of free cosmetic products. And thanks to that, we got thousands and thousands and thousands of people commenting and participating to this challenge. And we won a lot of notoriety and we were still students. So it was so cool because we won a lot of time. We used our intelligence to win times and community before starting the business. And when you are doing B2B2C, it's so, something so much complicated because most of the time people ask me, do you start by brands or do you start by influencers? Do you start by B2B or by B2C? And I think you need to start both at the same times, but you just need to give you some times. And first, knowing that people can wait 3 months to get some luxury products, it was so cool and helping me to bring on the table the first community, the first people who will use the products, the first beta tester. And on the second part, then discussing with brand and told them, okay, we are already have on the community 10,000 influencers ready to work with you. They ask to work with your brand. It was not true, but they ask to work with your brand. Do you want to collaborate? Yes. And then it was a match. So it was one hack that helped me a lot to start my business. And I start my business with 1K. So 1,000 euros. And 5 years later, I sold 8 key numbers.
That's amazing. That's a great hack. And, you know, it's obviously about validating the market and, you know, getting, you know, people on board, but that's just a very smart way to do it. So yeah, thanks for sharing. And yeah, thanks for sharing the story. I mean, it's brilliant what you're doing, I think. And, you know, after an exit, we always, like, as an acquirer, we always are curious, like, what founders are going to do next. And if there is another venture or, you know, a sabbatical or you know, just kind of going and sailing their yacht around the world. But yeah, it's interesting that you started this new thing. And I'm looking forward to seeing where you land next year.
Thank you a lot for this discussion. It was a pleasure and see you soon.
Yeah, same here. And I'll obviously keep in touch and hope to do it again next time. So thank you and take care.
That was yet another awesome conversation on SaaS Unbound. We're always looking for new guests to share their experiences. We mostly talk with bootstrapped SaaS founders. And if you're one, reach out to me directly at anna@saas.group or find me on LinkedIn. If you're not bootstrapped or even not SaaS, but have a great story to tell, we want to hear from you too. And obviously, SaaS Unbound wouldn't be possible without the SaaS Group, a founder-friendly private equity company that buys awesome businesses that people love to take them to even greater success. If you're thinking about selling your company or just exploring your options, feel free to visit saas.group, fill in the form, and expect a response in under 24 hours.